Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I am Nolan.
And this is episode 47, and I want to talk about comics. All right, so were you ever into comics? Are you into comics now? What were your favorite comics? Your favorite comic book characters? All of the above. Nolan, start us off.
I tried to get into comics, so I don't know, being younger than you guys and I guess the people who really loved comics, it's kind of a thing you have to get into later. Like, you don't grow up going and getting a comic book nowadays, or back in the 90s. I guess some people did, but I tried to get into it when I was older, and it kind of just took on the form of graphic novels, which I don't think a real hardcore comic fan would consider that.
Yeah, you know, I've been a comic wondering collector. That.
Maybe they would, but I really love graphic novels. So if that counts, I'm really into Batman, and so that happened later in my life.
You know, hey, I think that they would, because a lot of graphic novels are collections.
That's
of,
right.
Of comics.
Actually, yeah, that's all they are.
It's like,
the graphic novel comes later. It's like the collection. Yeah. So yeah, I like Batman comics.
And have you read any like recent ones, or are you just kind of old school
so
stuff?
I recently, I guess, yeah, it was this year, I read the newer Batman canon. I don't know. I don't know like all the lingo or how to describe this series. It's the City of Owls plot.
Oh, yeah.
And it, yeah. I forgot who wrote it, and I'm such a noob for not knowing this. I'm totally not a comic fan. Like, I'm getting made fun of right now, but I loved it, and I read the first three. There's several, obviously, but I have the first three graphic novels of that, and the art is amazing. The writing is amazing. So City of Owls, check it out if you love Batman.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. You're not like a comic enthusiast, but you do enjoy comics.
Yeah, sure.
Kenny?
Nolan's got more cred than I do. Like, though I've always understood the appeal of comics, they've never done much for me. Like, if I were to pick one up, it would be to, like, appreciate the art, and I would flip through the pictures, but I feel like there's preferable ways for me to get a story. But that's because, literally, I'm just way too pretentious, and would be like, read a real book, but, like, that's completely unfair.
You're not a comic fan at all, then?
No.
Oh, okay, interesting. You know, believe it or not, I think I'm more like Nolan, but I collected when I was younger.
That's awesome.
I wasn't a huge reader, but we had a local comic store, and so I would every once in a while would have my parents take me there, and I'd get a few Batman comics, a few Superman comics. Like you, Nolan, I wasn't like a comic enthusiast, and I'm still not the biggest, you know, but I do really enjoy comics, and lately have been reading a lot of comics and graphic novels. Let's see, at the start of this year, I think I went through Superman Earth 1. I, for the first time ever, read Dark Knight Returns. That tells you how much of a fan I am that I'm just now reading Dark Knight Returns. And most recently, so within the last month, I've been really interested in Marvel's Civil War saga. You guys, have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a Marvel fan. If I had to choose, like, DC or Marvel, it's totally DC. But,
really?
Yeah, I am intrigued by the Civil War comics because they just, the art looks really clean and really
across
cool
the board, or just, like, in terms of comics?
Yeah, pretty much across the board. Like, I love X-Men. That's my Marvel interest. I love X-Men.
That's
so,
fair.
Like, I do like some Marvel superheroes.
As long as there's an asterisk for that, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I just despise Marvel. I just prefer the darkness of Batman.
DC's
and
yeah, the
I
gritty.
Actually like,
you like,
yeah, more realistic, more gritty, dark. And I do like Superman. A lot of people hate Superman because they think he's OP, and he is. But I think Superman's pretty cool.
Hey, I've also recently been introduced to like non-superhero comics, and I actually really enjoy those.
Like Saga?
Comics. Yeah, okay, so I read some of the Saga series, which it's a little too much for me, but I also have Mouse, which I'm going to read that soon. That's one of like the most notorious graphic novels. It's through the view of mice, but it's telling kind of the whole World War II you know, Jewish
and concentration
camp. Yeah, that
whole
thing.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. So comics are intriguing. Comics are interesting. They're not for everybody, but I think that we would all enjoy imagining ourselves entering into a comic that we were reading and becoming the hero of the story. That's exactly what happened in our retro game of the week that we're going to talk about now, Comic Zone.
Overview.
So Comics Zone, C-O-M-I-X, because we're edgy,
well
is
spelled.
A 1995 beat-em-up exclusive to the Sega Genesis.
That's rare.
That's very rare. 7 years later, it was ported to a few different systems, but this one began on Genesis only. And in fact, it was developed and published by Sega. And so if that's not unique enough, Comic Zone hosts one of the most unique settings in any video game that I've ever played.
Yeah, for sure.
Every single stage is a series of comic book panels, and all the dialogue takes place in speech and thought bubbles. So imagine one of the comics that you read as a kid or your favorite comic that you're reading now, but played out with you actually controlling the main character, and that's how Comic Zone feels. So the story, it begins all in the heart of New York City, where Sketch Turner is working on his newest comic book entitled Comics Zone.
Such a great name.
it contains aliens and monsters and all sorts of evil forces in this kind of post-apocalyptic Earth. And per the standard superhero origin story, like a bad thunderstorm fills the sky and a rogue lightning bolt strikes a panel of Sketch's comics. Of the comic that he's working on, and Sketch is then drawn into the comic, and thus the game begins.
So definitely different than X-Men, which is also a comic, and what we've recently played. It's a very unique setting.
Well, yeah, but like X-Men is a comic, but like,
right?
It's the story of X-Men. They're completely different things. This is literally like a brought to life comic book. Like, it's not just that it's that genre of story, it's literally that genre that you're getting to experience.
Right, and I've got to give Sega like a ton of credit for treading into that territory where you like traverse through panels of a comic book. Like, it makes me wonder why some of these other games that are based on comics, or like, you know, the content originally was a comic, why they didn't try that out, because it's very unique, because I've never experienced anything like
that. It is, and it's appealing. Well, after this, it may have been that they would have had a hard time getting away with doing it at all, because this was a unique enough thing that they were able to go back, the developers or whoever were able to go back and actually like patent this format.
Really?
Yeah, or at least according to the internet.
That's interesting. The internet's always right.
Yeah.
That's huge. I also think that your typical superhero comic is trying to go for as much realism as possible and setting it in a comic like setting would detract from that, while Comic Zone is not going for realism, going for just engagement, fun, you know. Even the humor in the game is so silly, so you control Sketch Turner, and he's just kind of this overweight, like, starving artist who is also a rock musician, and he's just completely, and that's why some of the musical themes are like this heavy rock type stuff. Yeah. Just the humor. He makes jokes. He at the start of stages, sometimes he'll take off his shoes, smell it, be disgusted by it. If you make him squat multiple times in a row, he'll expel gas from his bottom.
Classic.
Yeah.
He also has a pet rat.
Yes.
Roadkill.
Okay.
Roadkill.
Like, you gotta save the best parts for when we get really hyped, because Roadkill's maybe my favorite thing that's happened in a video game.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's let Roadkill take us from the overview into gameplay.
Gameplay.
I mentioned earlier that you are traversing through comic panels, and so picture a side-scrolling game, I don't know if we mentioned, it is a beat 'em up, so not too far from what we were playing last week.
Yeah, but completely different.
Yeah, because this one has a roadkill.
Well, not just that. I don't know. Just a completely different, like, tone of game.
Well, I'm getting there. I'm talking about your pressing buttons and your fighting enemies. You're punching and kicking and jumping and kicking. So that's what you're doing throughout the stages. But you're not just going left to right the whole time. You eventually get to the end of the panel, which is essentially a rectangle. And then you sometimes have a choice of going right or down or left. And you don't have to go a certain route. Like, there will be some panels you don't go to, which is really interesting.
Well, it adds replay value because, I mean, you can go different routes. You can find different rooms. You know, I'm sure there's a ideal way to go through because there's certain rooms, like there's hidden rooms and certain rooms that will provide you with extra items, which we haven't even discussed yet. And then there are some rooms that are easier than others. So, I mean, there's a whole tactic that will go into playing this game. And you'll be able to play it multiple times because as soon as you die, you get to begin the entire game over again.
You're not having a lot of checkpoints given to you.
No. Are you having any?
I don't think so.
I think if you get far enough, like, between actual, like, sub-storylines or, like, between pages, I think maybe there's a point where you start at the beginning of one of the pages again. But I'm not certain.
I don't think that. I think, and you might be right, but everything that I experienced... Okay, so my favorite part of the game is roadkill, but my least favorite part of the game is that just how quickly this game can end. And it just speaks to how difficult these early games are. Yeah. We already know that.
Oh,
but
yeah, they are.
Guys, there are no extra lives, there are no continues, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no checkpoints. And so when your health is depleted, you've got a bar of health, when it's depleted, it's game over. And
yeah,
you start at the beginning, not at the beginning of the stage, not at the beginning of the comic page, but at the beginning of the entire game.
At the beginning of your life.
And it's not only if your health is depleted, so if you, there's a few chances that you can fall into you know, a pit. On any other video game, you can do that as well. But you'll either respawn with less health or you'll go back to the checkpoint. Here, you fall into the pit, you start the entire game over.
Yeah. Not only that, but if you fall into the pit, you have failed. Like, you don't just start the game over, but you've unleashed a comic book villain on the real world who's about to wreak havoc and probably, like, nuke humanity. So, like, the stakes are really high.
And the only thing to stop him at that point, if you're dead, is your pet rat Roadkill.
We're just going to keep hitting on
Roadkill. Who's the secret hero of the whole thing?
I really believe that.
It actually is a comic book about his taming of a full-size man and teaching him to be a hero.
Let's talk about Roadkill. Because, because the Sketch's rat... Roadkill is central, guys, to both the narrative and the gameplay.
Absolutely. Yes. You can't beat the game without him.
Yeah, dare I say Roadkill is the hero of the story.
You dare say. Because look, absolutely. You said there are items in the game. You have 3 item slots that you can fill with usable items. Roadkill takes up one of those slots, but if you let him out on a panel...
Love him.
What does he do? He scavenges... the panel and rips the page back to find you like explosives or the pills. Like, he's really cool.
Yeah,
I think
finds
we
other items,
really love him.
Which was such a cool way of finding items, like ripping through it.
Yeah, ripping through the comic and finding it behind the pages. Yeah. But he also attacks enemies and he helps you solve puzzles and he'll go missing for a few panels and then he'll show up in a later panel if you just leave him outside your inventory.
I love that we all had separate experiences not talking before in all 3. Like, the highlight is Roadkill.
I've got in my show notes capitalized all letters of Roadkill !! because
he's great.
He is what makes this game for me.
Well, it's cool because you said that the game is not forgiving, and it's not. And it is those early games. They're short in length, but as a result, you've got a difficulty curve that we don't have nowadays in games. Games are longer, the more you can explore more, they expand like a huge world map maybe. but they're easier and you can save now wherever you want. These games, not the case. So like if you're out of items and you're stuck, that's a really unique way of saying, of the game being like, okay, take this item. You let out your rat and you find something useful. That's really cool. Because if that wasn't in the game, you'd be screwed.
I don't know of any other game that does, that has it like that in regards to the feature. And I'm sure there are, but having a sidekick that you can use in the stage that can help you solve puzzles, that can help you find items that... My health was almost completely depleted. I had not been able to find an item. I was without any power, any items whatsoever, any attack items or any defense or health items. And so all I had was roadkill. And so I was in a panel refusing to move forward. I was scared to move forward because I knew there'd be enemies there that would probably take me out. Release roadkill, and he found I don't know if it's pills or if it's a drink, but it's something that restores a good portion of your health. And it's those kinds of moments that made this game enjoyable for me.
Did you guys have any trouble with like the explosive crates? I mean, I know that there's a warning sign essentially on the side of it, but I would punch it and kick it, blowing it up because it's blocking my way or something, and just get
It's got a giant warning sign.
I know.
I trusted the warning sign. And on top of that, the girl that is kind of guiding you through verbally.
Oh, right. Verbally,
we didn't even say. But she comes up with a warning and says, that box looks dangerous. And then Nolan just kicks the crap out of it.
I'm like, no, I can take this. I'm in a comic book.
So you finish the panel by defeating enemies or by solving a puzzle. There's a few puzzles, very elementary. I mean, easy to solve puzzles. Or by breaking the barrier in between your panel and the next. And I think each stage is comprised of two comic book pages. I think that's pretty standard there. And I think there's four, maybe five stages.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
And you mentioned the puzzles. So it's not just fighting. And often what would happen, to get through a panel, you have to defeat so many enemies or whatever. And Mortis is the enemy.
Yeah, the ultimate bad guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that's outside the comic book. You will see his hand come in from time to time and draw a new enemy. And it's
which
like,
is so great.
That's a nice touch. And then there are puzzles, though, like just very minor ones. And they left me really disappointed because that could have added that layer of variety in the gameplay other than just punching, but they were so trivial and not the best puzzles. So
they were, but I did like that they were there. To me, it did
nice
break up the monotony of just running around punching stuff, and you know, and that portion of it is a little repetitive, but like it added, I don't know, it did a nice job of making it feel comic bookish. I feel like they just stuck with that so well. Like, we're gonna just stick a comic book person in their own comic. And they committed to what their game was, and I don't know, it was well done.
Can we just real quick before we move on? We mentioned that it's a button masher. We mentioned that it's kind of a beat 'em up, but we've said this even recently, but it really feels the move set kind of like Street Fighter, in that you use your directionals along with your primary buttons for kicks and hits and uppercuts and flying attacks and all of those. I did feel, however, that wasn't intuitive, that it was hard to discover all of his moveset, and that I didn't even figure out, because there are some hits that are more powerful than others. Out of nowhere, one time I did this grab and the knee, and another time I did like a dash forward with his shoulder, but I have no idea how I did that, and I wasn't able to replicate that at later times.
Yeah, I ran into that, and I pretty much stuck to maybe four different punches and kicks the whole game, and it worked. You can get through the game doing that.
It's a little
slower, and I knew that there was a bigger move set because there would be accidents, but yeah, you're right, there's no like tutorial, there's no help in that regard.
I don't know how far you guys got into the game, but one of the bosses, which there's bosses at the end of each stage, one of the bosses, Kung Fung.
Yeah, what's me? What the
is
heck?
Impossible.
Hard.
I could not beat him.
Really?
Yeah.
You got stuck there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's not unfortunate.
Was that the
He's
guy
very
that
hard.
Made the fire into water?
It was in the temple.
it was in the temple. He's got these fingernails that are knives that he shoots out at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, he shoots the fire, and then the water bursts come up, and you have to avoid those. I mean, I'm not good at dodging all the different projectiles he was throwing at me.
Definitely had lots of difficult moments this game, like quite a few. It is not an easy game.
And I have a little more time to play these games due to circumstances right now. And so I completed the game. I will say I was stuck at Kung Fung for a long time. It took a lot of tries and, yes, some save states because I was not going to start that game over. But I completed the game. All in all, it's not a long game. But like we've said, the difficulty makes up for that, and you will be grinding, just figuring out how to beat a boss, like figuring out his patterns and where you can attack, when you can't attack. But it took me, like, one, after figuring out the game, one sitting, a little over an hour, just going slowly through the game.
Yeah, and see, I respect that. I think here's what a lot of the differentiation is between games of then and games of now, is that games now, they are longer, and so they progressively get more difficult, and then when you're at the end, they're very difficult, but also your skill has improved over time, yeah. Of knowing how to handle the game, handle the character, knowing how to manage the difficulty.
And that feels good.
Yeah, but in these early games, they're a lot shorter, and so they get difficult a lot quicker, and you don't have that kind of time to grow and to learn. So it's just a matter of playing over and over again, dying, starting at the beginning. But by the time you put in the same amount of time, maybe, or you still probably put in less, but over time, your skills and your managing of the character and the mechanics and the game causes you to be better and better. So by the, you know, sixth time that you're fighting Kung Fung, you're finally able to beat him, and then you get that same kind of excitement and joy out of being able to complete certain portions of a game.
Aged.
We gotta talk about how this game aged, but I'm still trying to just wrap my head around the experience of this game, because, like, it doesn't feel like any other game, and I don't know, like, it feels like a really old game, but you pick it up and there's things about it that are so appealing that, like, you want to just play through it, and I don't know. I guess I'm still just processing my thoughts a little bit. You guys tell me how you thought the game aged.
So I mentioned that I played this game on PC first, actually, one of the Windows port.
Oh, yeah, and one of the old, like, game packs that they released or whatever.
Yeah, so they've got, like, a Sega Suite pack or whatever.
So you played this before this week?
Yes, I have played this game before this week.
Okay.
A long time ago, though. So this pack, you know, I was a big Sega fan, or a Sonic fan, sorry, I mean Sega too, but I saw this at like a Sam's Club or something. It was one of those just weird box sets that had like Sonic 2, Comic Zone. It actually had Shining Force on it as well, so that's where I play Shining Force. So this was a pretty big deal, this whole Sega pack that I found. And that was a long time ago, so my memories of it were fond. I thought the game was fun back then, so, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be a similar experience this time or if it was going to be the opposite. But again, I'm just blown away by the Genesis's graphics and how, and it makes so much sense that Sega developed and published this game, because you can see the colors of the Genesis so well, and again, the backdrops are so detailed. And what I really noticed in this game was the animations were spot on and really clean. Just the way he's like moving and punch throwing punches and stuff. It's really good animations. And so the graphics, again, the Sega has not shown its age, because it's so cool. Even like if you love pixel art, I think that you can really appreciate this graphic style, because it seems like that newer pixel art that people make trying to look retro, but this game is old and it did it back then. So that's really cool to see.
Well, you know, like Shovel Knight and other games like that are modern games, but right, that try to include this nostalgia and this, you know, 8-bit, 16-bit, whatever. They try to, you know, do graphics like that, but better. And in a lot of cases, they do it better because, I mean, we've got a lot more capabilities now. But Comic Zone holds up to games like that that are being made today in regards to graphics. And that just amazes me because, by and large, that's something that the Super Nintendo did not do, that Nintendo did not
do. I agree.
Even through N64, I mean, I know that's a whole different graphics set.
No, but you're
I understand that. But even by and large, I'm saying there are some games, guys, that are beautiful and artistic in the Nintendo realm back then. But Sega continually amazes me at the level of detail and color and creativity that they have in a lot of their games. And this is another one of those examples.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a reason it got included in that, like, classic games pack. And it's because it really is like, this is what the Sega was all about. Like, you get different styles of game than some of the other consoles, you get unique storylines, and you get graphics that, like, deliver. And this is one of those games that like, I appreciated the art of it as much as, maybe more, than I appreciated the actual gameplay. To me, the gameplay was only fun because of the setting, like the storyline that you were in and the way it was presented. Like, there were moments that I literally felt like I was, like, in the middle of this epic sort of comic book story, and it drew me in, and I was, like, feeling related to the characters, and I grew attached to this weird sidekick rat, and it's all just because of how they presented it. Like, the button interactions aren't anything that unique, you know. The puzzles and varieties was fun to give it a little more depth, and the fact that you could use items and sort of pull those outside of the comic book world into it and those kind of things. But, like, it's all that setting and tone that make everything else work, and I don't think you could have pulled that off on a different console.
Yeah, you're right. The gameplay mechanics themselves are nothing to write home about. They're
fine. They're not, like, bad.
Although, I do like the, you know, I mentioned last week that we don't use the Super Nintendo controller often, but I love that the controller is used well throughout this.
Exactly. Had all the buttons.
Game. Yeah, like cycling through items, using
items,
well, punching.
Even items are those top three buttons, you know? So, I love that. I agree with you guys. It is clear that Sega wanted their video game to look like a comic book in motion, and they
delivered
exactly
it so
that.
Well, yeah.
Exactly that. The backgrounds and sprites pop with color. It's frustratingly difficult, but it still holds up to the test of time and is a game that I think can still be enjoyed today.
Yeah, I think so too. And the dialogue is corny, but it's not a fault in this case.
It's appropriately corny, though. Yeah, like it fits with what's going on, and it didn't feel out of place that you weren't actually getting characters. In fact, sometimes when characters try and talk and they try and, like, dub it, it looks fake back then, you know, with the graphical ability. And so this actually hit sort of a sweet spot of, like, once you accepted that you were in a comic book world, but outside of it, since you're able to literally jump through panels and break through them and interact with them and tear the page, and you know what I mean? Like, it was this reality, but, like, given an extra set of, like, three-dimensional depth. The communicating in that format just felt right to me.
Yeah, the fact that you don't have to stop and, but, like, hit A to cycle through text, but you're moving around freely and your text bubbles are popping up.
Yeah, like, while you're fighting enemies, you're talking to them, and they just both have bubbles pop up over their head wherever they are, and it was neat. Their commitment to doing the comic book thing fully.
All right, real quick, we got to address the music, because the music, in my opinion, is gnarly. And I never use that word, but I think it's the perfect word to describe the audio in this game.
Yeah, it makes sense with everything that's going on, just how ridiculous everything is.
It's
you're
so true.
On your own comic, and you're this goofy writer, and your name's Sketch Turner, and you have a pet rat. It makes so much sense.
I want to think that this game was produced, like, developed, created, coded, and everything by one person, and it's his autobiography. Like, I want to. Just, like, the character and the fact that he's a musician and the music sounds like that same tone and era. And, like, Like, I think this really happened. That's how well they sold this story. And the music absolutely plays a part of that.
You know that the composer was... He worked on Baldur's Gate.
Really?
Really? I did not.
Yeah. No. I looked him up.
But I do know that there were bonus CDs that were released with different versions of this game. And so one of them was just a compilation of bands performing their own rock songs, which is great. But there was another album that was released where rock bands covered the songs from Comic Zone, the video game.
That's so fun.
That's a new level of meta.
Yeah, one rock band covered, you know, the first stage song, and then another band covered, you know, the final boss theme, and just different things like that. And that's just an added feature that is just speaks to the creativity and the hilarity and the, you know, just fun behind.
Absolutely, I feel like they just had fun making this game. You know how some games it just sort of leaks through the mentality of the game creators. This one just. Like, I felt like they were having a really good time. Like, I see them sitting around, eating Cheetos, chugging Mountain Dew, reading some other actual comics on the side.
Maybe smoking weed.
Yeah, a little bit probably with some of the choices they made. But, like, just having a great time making this really, really unique game. It doesn't feel like anything else.
The final shell shock.
Which leads us to the conversation that we always have at the end of our reflection is, do you guys give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? To receive that kind of certification, it's got to have at least two of us giving a thumbs up. If all three of us, then definitely it does receive our New Game Plus certification. Nolan, do you suggest that our viewers pick up and play this game that it holds up today and that it's worth finding a copy of or not? What do you think?
No. I'm just kidding.
I was so surprised. I was like, what?
The way I've been talking about it. No, I do, because it is a Sega... Well, it was a Sega exclusive that should be experienced because of everything we've said. It's unique. It's fun to play. It is hard, but what game isn't that we have played? And it's just a fun thing to experience. And I think that if you did not get to play any games on the Genesis, on the Mega Drive, then this will be a fun one to choose. Like, yeah, Sonic and the big ones, but this one, I feel like not many people know about. Maybe they missed it either because they had a Nintendo or they just, I mean, I barely knew about this game and I had a Genesis. I just happened to stumble upon it. So it's one of those gems that really highlight the Genesis, and I think that it would be fun for anyone to just try out.
So we've got one yes. Kenny, what do you say?
Yeah, this one goes like into an absolutely category for me. Like enough so that when I thought Nolan was going to say no, he was going to get Civ 2 levels of argument from me. Which is the only other time you guys have been blatantly wrong. I'll bring it up again forever and ever. I'm not bitter though. Because this game, like, really, really impressed me. It's not my type of game, generally. Like, I'm not a just beat-em-up kind of guy. But there were so many, like, good storytelling elements. The art was so top-notch and unique. And the sort of irreverent tone that just fit with everything else. The music. Like, they just sold it as a comic book, and it has the look and the feel, and it didn't feel like any other game I'd ever played before. I like some of the mechanics, obviously. Once you get into it, it feels like you're playing a video game. But I don't know. Like, in its simplicity, it was immersive, and I didn't think I was going to like this game. And then, for some reason, its charm really just got me. And it was a fun game.
So I was always a Super Nintendo kid, as I mentioned earlier. So growing up, I never owned a Genesis, and I only got to play them on rare occasions. But it's games like these that are causing me to question if I owned the right system in my youth.
Wow.
I did not go into this game thinking that I would have as much fun as I did at all.
Right?
And like, I had never heard of this game, and then by looking at it, like, it does not look like it's anything interesting.
Mm-mm.
But I love the novel concept of stages as comic book panels. And I think they did that so well. And
they really did.
To have you control a hero who is the one who drew out and created the world and the enemies that he's having to fight. Like,
but then they're interacting differently because one of them comes alive and redraws it. I don't know.
That's so interesting, so fun to me. I was taken by surprise with this game, and I think that you will be too. And so play Comic Zone. It definitely gets my vote for New Game Plus status, which means that's three yeses. This game is New Game Plus certified.
Plus, Dustin, I didn't say it so that if you wanted to go back and rave about it again, you could. But Roadkill.
Also Roadkill, so if this game sucked, but I still got to hang out with Roadkill, it would have gotten my New Game Plus status.
I also want to point out, after all of us saying all that, it's really easy to play. You can get it on Steam, it's on the Xbox Live Arcade, it's on Windows.
Yeah, it's more accessible than a lot of the games we've played.
We had a few of our viewers contact us this week with commentary over Comic Zone. George said, Comic Zone is one of the most underrated games. I didn't play this game when I was a kid, but everyone who had Mega Drive rated this game as their favorite. I played it only now, and I must say, it is great. This game needs an HD remake. Can you imagine how it would look with high-res animations?
Absolutely.
That would be...
I agree. It'd be worth the time.
Just think about Roadkill in HD.
Maybe add two or three more levels and reskin the whole thing and just, I'd play it.
That'd be interesting. Maybe an anniversary edition?
Uh-huh.
Jeff emailed us and he said, I was really surprised when I went back to this game. It was always super difficult. I let my six-year-old son play and he actually discovered that the rat will find hidden items in the panels, something I didn't even know in my playthroughs before, and made this game just a little bit easier. Comic Zone is so creative for its time. I love the art style, transitioning from panel to panel, and the different paths through each stage. It's a tough game, but the right kind of tough. I feel like if I really sat down and committed to the game all week, I could have beat it. I was too busy playing Overwatch. I love it when you guys do Genesis games because it's the system I still have hooked up and even had a copy of Comic Zone.
That's definitely always fun when you can play the actual system. Like, a lot of our NES titles, I've been able to do that. And recently, reacquired, borrowed, but probably somewhat long-term, a Super Nintendo from someone as well. And so I agree, Jeff. Like, sitting down and actually playing things on the console itself always just adds that much more realism. So that sounds
and
super
also,
fun.
You're doing fatherhood correctly by playing with your son. That's awesome.
And yeah, also... Sure. If you're any good at Overwatch, I'd say level 50 competitive or above, hit us up. Let's play some Overwatch.
They say that to specifically preclude themselves from having to play with me.
That's not the intention. But it is our time of the podcast to randomly select our next video game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days out of our Retro Master list. It's a selection of games that you guys have suggested. It's got to be 15 years old or older, any console, any system, any genre, and you send us a suggestion, we add it to the list, and then we could potentially play it. The next game is... Well, we do have a Sega game back-to-back.
Whoa.
After the first one, I'm not minding trying to stay in that world. What's the game?
We also have a 1995 game back to back.
Interesting.
We are again playing Comic Zone.
Wait, really though? On those other two things, those are the same?
Yep, they're the same things. This, for the next 7 days, we are playing the game Vector Man.
Oh my gosh. That was also in the Sega pack thing that Comic Zone and all those other games were. I'm serious.
Crazy.
Is it Vector Man 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another game that I've never heard of before.
It's another one that by title sounds terrible, but that I have hope for.
Well, we are three episodes away from our big one-year anniversary, which we've been talking about some. We don't want to give you all the details, but we've got some exciting things planned and in the works. every episode that we ever record is for you guys, the viewers. But this one in particular, we just really want to show our appreciation to you. You, for so long now, for a year, have shown your love towards us. And so we want to create an episode that is specifically us showing our love to you.
Sounds a little shadier than it is. It should be real fun.
Doesn't sound shady at all. We're really looking forward to it. And we'll be in touch with some of you over the next few days just to get a little help for that upcoming episode.
A little help.
Watch your inboxes. As always, you can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes and SoundCloud and any other podcast provider. Make sure you're subscribed so you are the first to get New Game Plus episodes. And if you like what you hear, take a moment and go onto iTunes and or SoundCloud, write a review. 5-star would be preferable, but also you can just listen to this podcast without any strings attached. But if you are willing to do that, it does help with our visibility, helps other people find out about New Game Plus. And we'd love to welcome new people to the family. Join us next week as we play Vector Man. Until then, I'm Roadkill.
I wish I was stuck in a comic book.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.